I'd like to open the last part of the chapter 6 of the Gospel according to John, and I feel my great deficiency. Somehow I perceive that I was unable to open the preceding passages of this chapter 6. These are massive statements of facts that the Lord is somehow breathing into the mind of the Hebrews, the Jews, and they're just not able, not willing to accept that. Even many of his disciples are murmuring, protesting, and they're disappointed, displeased, and they feel that it's just way too much. It cannot be that they would accept that kind of a teaching. What is so hard? What is so difficult? I will try to read the words of the Lord only in this chapter 6, starting with the verse number 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, not because you feel the power of God, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They filled their stomach and they feel good about that, and now they're seeking the Lord again. That's the extent of their commitment, dedication, understanding, or interest. And the Lord says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that hath sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And now the verse 59 and on. These things said he, the Lord, in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" What was so hard to them? What was so unacceptable to them? Do I understand deeper than the surface of these words? Since it's not quite clear to me, what was so hard to the Jews? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is preaching, talking to the people, and his disciples are there, and that's taking place in a synagogue in Capernaum. And some of his disciples feel that preaching is too hard. Who can listen? Who can hear that? Now let's imagine someone who is approaching a grassy field where there is quicksand, and somebody is yelling from a short distance, "Stop, don't go there, it's fatal, it's deadly, stop." But this man is seeing only the grass, and he has no idea that the moment he stepped there, he is lost. For that man that is going in the direction to get lost, this is a hard saying. And for his disciples, the Lord's disciples, this is a hard saying. They don't understand the meaning of all of the words of the Lord. What they do understand, or at least they feel, that the words of the Lord are beating down their pride. They cannot take that. They cannot accept that. Apparently, their idea was that the Lord should gain the hearts and minds of the people by talking to them the things they like to hear. But that was not the purpose, apparently. The Lord had only one purpose: understand the message of the gospel. Believe the Father that has sent me, and the Son whom he has sent and sealed for this work. So, if I don't understand something, but it's clear to me what the will of the Lord is, I should obey. It's not necessary that I understand 100% of every word that the Lord has said, but it is very necessary. For me it is necessary, not for the Lord. For me it's very important that I obey the word of God. Understanding is very important, but obedience is more important. And I noticed another paradox, another surprising thing here. Many of his disciples went back. They did not walk with the Lord anymore. So that means they walked with the Lord. They left their homes, they left their jobs, their work, even their source of income. And they're following the Lord from place to place. And their presence around the Lord is a testimony to the others. But what kind of a testimony that is, if their commitment is so shallow? It is important for them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as long as there is some benefit for the body, for the flesh, for the earthly life. But if there is something to suffer, and especially to suffer humiliation of my pride, no, I don't want that. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the people not to draw them to become members of his party, members of his movement, the people that will laud his name in this world. If they don't understand the gospel, if they're not willing to obey the word of God, they're useless. Not only useless, they're a damage, a blemish on his reputation. So many of them went back, but Judas stayed. Judas Iscariot, the one of whom the Lord says he is a devil. His intentions are so evil, so wicked. He's such an awful character. He stayed. So when we see somebody departing from the Lord, let's not think that he is the worst. No. The worst usually stay in the group. They follow the Lord outwardly, and they're waiting for their opportunity, their moment to betray, to cause as much damage as possible. But look into the Word of God and realize they are appointed for that purpose. And the Lord knew from the beginning who is who and what is what. And yet, he accepted Judas to be one of the 12. May the Lord give us grace and power to walk in his Spirit and worship him in the truth of the gospel, that we may learn more and more of that truth, that eating the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, digesting his example, his teaching by words and deeds, demonstrating the gospel of the Almighty God, gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior, so that we may look forward to greater revelation, that we may see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before our very eyes, ascending up to heaven, seeing his life on earth, that we may see him ascending up to heaven, seeing how he presented the gospel to us, that we may learn to live in that gospel, to experience that gospel day by day, that our testimony in this world be a living testimony of our Heavenly Father, showing what an abundant grace and mercy is upon all those that trust and obey his Son. In the verse number 63, the Lord is revealing to the disciples a very important fact. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and our life in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and especially and more than in any other case, when the Lord Himself is presenting that gospel to the mankind, there is a power, spiritual power, that is not intended to make our flesh feel good, that is designed to create and develop new life in our soul. Studying the Word of God, absorbing into our conscience, our understanding, our mind and heart, the truth of the gospel, means receiving that power that creates life and develops in us a real, true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could be very gifted in the flesh. We could be of athletic stature. We could be very strong and able to endure a lot of difficulties in our body. All of that is not going to benefit to us very much, perhaps nothing, in understanding the gospel. Often the sick and the weak and the sad and the desperate receive the understanding of the Word of God, and highly educated, wealthy, the men of high position in honor in this world, they have difficulty after difficulty and they cannot understand it. Just as Nicodemus in the chapter 3 said to our Lord, how can that be? When we read the Word of God and we pray for understanding and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ as He goes from place to place and as He is preaching the Word of God in short fragments, in longer sermons, and we pray for understanding and the Spirit of the Lord opens our mind and we see the Lord in His sinless flesh, His sinless body, reading the minds and the hearts of the sinful people, when we see the Lord never desiring to do something other than the Father's will, His whole being filled with that desire to please the Father, we are eating the bread of heaven. We are eating, consuming, digesting the bread of life. May the Lord bless that bread of life and feed us every day. The Lord said, there are some of you that believe not. We need not worry about the traitors. Who is going to be the traitor? How bad is he going to be? There is no need that we have any concern for that. The traitor will find out, and the Lord knows from the beginning. For us is the most important thing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to, through His Word, to consume the flesh and to drink that blood, to absorb into our soul, into our mind and heart, the life of the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. There are some of you that believe not. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Why did the Lord say this to the disciples? If everything depends on the Father, then who cares? Why should I take any effort? Why should I bother to do anything about my spiritual life? No, quite the opposite. No one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ except it were given unto him of the Heavenly Father. Now we know whom to turn to, of whom to ask the ability, the gift of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to the Father, seek what is His will, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. Ask, and ye shall receive. No one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ except it be given to Him of the Father. So when I cry to the Father, when I beseech Him to give me that grace and power to walk after my Redeemer, when I strive to serve the Lord with all of my power, that's His power working in me. That's the power of the gospel. That's the Spirit. That's life. And I should not yield to the temptation and deception of Satan to think, oh, I'm laboring so hard. No, I'm not. I'm doing nothing. If I labor with my whole heart, that's the Father's power working in me. His Spirit is working His work in me and through me. And that's a wonderful blessing. It's a great privilege. And it has great reward. Only our God is such a one reward giver that He gives us everything that we need, and we work with His ways and means, and then in the end He gives us the great reward that belongs to Him, not to us, but that's our Father in heaven. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. If the success of my spiritual journey depends on me, I'm doomed to failure. But because it is something that is given by the Father, of the Father to us, in Jesus Christ our Savior, it pays to labor. It is good to battle. We are on the side of Him that is victorious, and then He is on our side. As the Son is in the Father and the Father in the Son, so the Spirit of the Son is in all those of us who trust and obey and strive to live a godly life following the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord asked the question of the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered for all of them, or at least the other 10, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Such a beautiful testimony. Does that mean that everyone giving such a testimony is ready to live and die for the Lord? Not necessarily. But it surely reveals Peter's and the other disciples' sincerity. They believed that the words which the Lord Jesus Christ spake to them are the words of life and truth, the words of salvation. And that's so necessary and so important. When we hear the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, to absorb the teaching as the living gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the life giver. At the same time, when many of the Lord's disciples, nominal disciples, went back and did not want to follow Him anymore, they openly showed, they demonstrated their unbelief, their faithlessness. At such a time, Simon Peter is giving this kind of a testimony. "Lord, to whom shall we go? There is no other way. There is no other place. There is no other Son of God. Jesus Christ is our only hope and reliance." Having received such a testimony from His disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ answered them again, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" Why would He say that to the disciples? Do they really need those doubts and fears and to wonder which one is the devil? Which one is going to betray the Lord? Which one is the bad one? Is it necessary that each one of them would question and doubt the integrity of every other disciple? No. That's not the intention and desire of the Lord. He already said before, in the verse number 64, there are some of you that believe not. And now here said, one of you is a devil. He said that so that each one of us would question himself or herself. That I would question myself, am I a devil? Am I one of those that believe not? If I question myself and seek a good positive answer in the Word of God, Satan cannot deceive me. That's satanic power, deception, to convince us that we are very good, so as we become careless. Not to listen carefully and obey diligently the Word of God, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather to have my private interpretations, to have excuses for all disobediences, and still to feel, I'm very good. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God is merciful, gracious, loving, but I don't believe that He is a just judge against every sin. I must believe that as well. Otherwise, I make God a liar. And the teaching of the gospel, I make a false teaching. But there is no other gospel but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone is going to twist it, he is actually preaching another gospel. May the Lord bless every sincere disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we are getting nearer and nearer to Him as we meditate on the Word of God and strive to live in obedience to His Word, that we may experience that power of the Father that is giving to us the will and the ability to grow and to mature in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.